Well, welcome to Church CTK. Good to have you guys here today. For those of you online, whenever you're watching and engaging, a pleasure having you here. And particularly if you're with us for the first time or beginning to be new at CTK, I hope you get a sense of what this congregation is about. And if God's calling you to be a part of this place, some of the impact that God is doing through this mission and ministry. As we think about these Impact Sundays, this isn't about what do I need to go tell my friends about and brag about CTK. This is not about, hey, look what my church is doing, as if one church is doing something and another church is not. When we think about impact, we think about the move of God. The church, you and me individually and corporately as a body, biblically speaking, is called the bride of Christ. We are the hands and feet of Jesus in the midst of the world. None of what happens in the life of the church is for self-glorification or for me to say, hey, I'm making my name known. It's to make known who? The name of God. It's about seeing God's move because you and I, as we sang in the song, gave our lives to Jesus. We surrendered who we are. We surrender time, our finances, our emotions, our spirit. We surrender ourselves to be a move by which God can use us in powerful ways. So every now and then we'd like to push the pause button, particularly in Love Month we call February, and just think about how is God moving? How is he making a difference in your life and through your life and mine? In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus shares in verse 19 this passage. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So Jesus is speaking to the body of Christ, the church, and he's talking about them to keep our heart and our minds in the right place. And what is the treasure that we chase as God's people? We know we live in a world and there's a lot of things that look really glamorous and glorious in an earthly sense. And it's easy to lose our focus as to what we want to chase down. Can we really end life with those with the most toys when they die wins? How many of you came into this world with a toy? How many of you will go out of this world with a toy? You see, what Jesus wants us to think about is, what is the true treasure that we should chase? We know that the things in the world look awesome and wonderful, and every new ad brings on new things that we can chase or we want to be a part of. But what he cautions is the treasure of our heart. And while we are on the face of the earth, particularly if you and I have said, I belong to Jesus. I accept him as the Lord of my life, and it's to him that I want to live on earth and with heaven forever. What you said is you are now a part of the bride of Christ. Your life is about giving him glory and praise in everything that we do. So our treasure and our hunt for the treasure changes. Our treasure becomes our hunt for him. And now he moves through our lives, and everything that we have begins to be a part of that focus. So he brings us to that place, and he reminds us, this is what life is about. You see, life always has an accounting. It always has an accounting. We know that when we meet Jesus face to face, the Bible says there's an accounting. Jesus will know all the works of our life and everything that we've been about, and all that our life has treasured will come before Jesus. We really want to be comfortable in that moment, don't we? We want to come to him knowing that we are a bride. And we look glorious as he's molded us and shaped us. Now, accounting's come in all kinds of ways. In our earthly life, accounting comes in all kinds of dynamics by which we can see sometimes. And if we live life totally chasing our own treasure, we might say our self-focus and everything that we've been about, we might see an accounting that looks like a broken family, a broken marriage, maybe lots of problems at work because we're chasing all the wrong things in work instead of pouring ourselves out for what we're called to do. We might actually see in life ways that accounting is breaking us because of where our treasure is. But that's not always the case. Sometimes in life, we escape all of that. We get lucky. We chase everything the world has, and life seems to be good. But there's still an accounting. It just plays out in all kinds of ways. So what Jesus encourages us, watch your treasure. Make sure your treasure, as my people, again, as God's people, has your heart in the right place. And that you're building on the right foundation. Some of you may not lose anything to moth or thieves on earth. Others of you may have already. But we know that every way that we pour our hearts out that brings lives to Jesus Christ, it is never lost. That stock market never devalues. And that investment never goes away. And it shows up when we meet Jesus face to face in a really clear accounting. We looked at a passage last week in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 with the chronicler's reflecting on life. And he says this, he says, "Wealth and honor come from you, God. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Everything is yours. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I," he reflects, "who am I and who are we as your people that we should be able to give as generously as this?" There must have been an amazing outpouring when he's writing it. And he looks around and goes, who are we that you would actually give us the ability to be so generous for your kingdom work? And he reflects, everything comes from you. And we have given you only what comes from your hand. It's a good reminder, isn't it? It's a good reminder for me. I'm sure it's a good reminder for you. Sometimes I can begin to think, this is mine. No, it's not. I work hard. Look what I own. No, none of us do. We didn't bring anything out. We're not taking it with us. God says, seek first the kingdom and everything is given to you. Nothing belongs to you. It's all God's. We're only learning as his people on earth to let go as we will in heaven. To know it all is his. Last week, I opened up for you this image of the triangle of the purpose of the church. And this is not the purpose of CDK Church or Good Shepherd Church or Steel Creek Church or any other church. This is the purpose of the church. Raise your hand. You're it. It's every life of every individual, every family that's given their lives to Jesus Christ. It's the same purpose. And it looks like this on the screen. Our lives are about the exaltation of God. It's nothing to my glory or nothing to my fame or your glory or your fame. It's all to the glory of God. To you all things we learn as we gather in worship to worship. Imagine what life would be like every day, as we talked about last week, that you get up in the morning, the first thing you do is say, God, it's all you. It changes perspective on everything. The second purpose of the church, you and me, is the edification of the body. It's how we build up one another and grow more and more mature like Jesus, sharing his love and grace in the midst of the world. Imagine every day when you get up with your kids, with yourself, with your family, with your community, with your church, that it's about today, what are we going to do to be in the Word, to build up the body to look more like Jesus? And the third is the evangelization of the world. That's the out. Is Matthew 28, go into the world, make disciples of all nations. See, we have a purpose. You have been uniquely, as a believer in Jesus Christ, uniquely set apart from everybody in the world for a divine purpose that will be eternal. Think about that. That is a privilege. In fact, 1 Peter says, you are a chosen people. God's own. That is powerful. As the church goes, so does culture. Sometimes we can look around in the world and go, man, I give up. It's just, as my mother would say, we're going to hell in a handbasket. I don't know what that was, but she'd use it. Sometimes we say, we're just going the wrong way. We can look every day on the news and it just gets more and more chaotic. And we can say, what good is my part going to make in the world? We can get places of being apathetic and just say, it doesn't matter anymore. Yes, it does. Don't give up. Don't ever, ever think that way and give up. It is because the Holy Spirit, through the power of the church, is alive and awake in the world that we haven't already imploded, church. Hear me? You're making a difference. Every single life at a time. Because when the church goes away and it isn't church triumphant, read the book of Revelation and what happens next. The church, as is Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is the hope of the world. And you individually, because you are the bride of Christ, as we talked about last week, are it. And wherever you walk, wherever you go, whatever message you share, whatever person you touch, whatever influence in business, politics, wherever education, you bring hope and light. You matter. You're an impact. Don't underestimate that by any means. I know we used to share with our kids, and share with you last week, is they would leave the house in the morning to go to school. Remember who you represent. Remember what you're called to be and who you are. Exaltation, edification, evangelization. We build it into the rhythm of who we are and whose we are. It's powerful. It's what we're meant to be. So we think about on these Impact Sundays, and we like to pause a moment and just think about the move God is making. Anybody need a little encouragement out there on occasion? Yeah. The early church did. The early church would come back in the middle of the week. They didn't know who had died by society, who had wiped them all. And the discouragement, man, I sit down with Christians, I just see the discouragement all over their faces. Sometimes we just need a little encouragement. Paul writes it in Hebrews chapter 10. He says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Sometimes we just need to sit together. We need to see the work and the move of God among one another and go, I'm in. Encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. There have been a whole lot of days you think it's drawing near. And it may be. But until Jesus comes, we're his bride. We're the best thing he's got going. Look around you. And what a gift that is. Don't underestimate that gift. And sometimes when we share together the moves of God on Impact Sundays, we just want to encourage one another. Well, look at people like Lindsay and Barissa and Heather and go, wow, God is moving. And I'm a part of that. It makes a difference to be his bride in the midst of the world. I look at the Mothers of Preschooler program and I go, man, all those moms, you know, it's not easy raising little ones in a culture in which we are, much less get any sleep. They need to encourage one another. If you're a part of that ministry, hallelujah. And there's more needed. I think about the preschool. It's outreach. It's not just about getting kids ready for kindergarten, although that's an awesome thing. It's about getting their hearts ready with Jesus Christ to meet what's going to be at kindergarten. Hear me, church? If you've ever been a part of the school system, you know that if you don't have a rock-solid identity in Jesus Christ, you're going to get rocked. That's what we're about. Every single day it's needed. If you're with Pastor Kyle and other teens in this place praying around the pole at school, man, how needed that is. And if your school doesn't have one of those and you're sitting here today going, man, I wish I was a part of that, you don't need to be a part of that. You need to start your own in your own school. You have permission. You're the bride of Christ, the hope of the world. I think about the events that go on in this place all year long that take a lot of time and energy and resource and money, things like Touch a Truck and things like fall festivals and Christmas celebrations and multicultural festivals and all kinds. Why? So people, thousands of people can come on this campus and experience something different than experience in the world. They might just meet Jesus, in essence, you, and their heart changes. Every week we have conversations with people in this community here, down and out. Maybe you do as well. And we speak hope into a life that's about to hang it up. You matter. It exists. You're changing lives. Over the last several years, we spent a lot of time and energy, millions of dollars, renovating and expanding this building. Why? So we're not just showing up on Sunday morning. That the impact that you and I have goes on every day of the week, early in the morning to late at night. You've heard this thing thrown around like Steel Creek Community Place. Anybody heard that phrase? Yeah. We started that. Why? So that we could have another organization working alongside Christ the King to have a greater impact for Jesus in our society, in our local community. Isn't that awesome? Because that opportunity extends the resource and the talent base and the opportunity to do God's work. Here's the purpose of Steel Creek Community Place. To unify our diverse community into a common goal that celebrates each person, identifies and elevates the well-being and future of families and individuals. Anybody want to be a part of that? You are, because you're sitting here. And there's some priorities that we want to look at in addition to sharing food and impacting families through Steel Creek Community Place, of which we're working together in. We want to look at the upward mobility of families that are in a cycle of poverty. Listen, we can do something about that, right? Because we're the hope of the world, we're the bride of Christ. We want to look at mental health. And all this social isolation over the last several years, man, that has been a struggle. You may have been in it going, I don't know if I can live another day. Life is so heavy. We can do so. We can be a voice of hope in a world. Think about family partnership. Not every kid gets the same equal blessing to just make it through school and graduate. We can do something about that, church. Amen? We can mobilize through Steel Creek Community Place and this church and others, the business and corporation, the people in this community that say, enough of that. They just need a catalyst to help them put it together. See, I just want to encourage you. God is on the move. And your investment matters. Your time and your energy and talent. Jesus was sharing to the people in Matthew chapter 25. He's sharing with people who found themselves facing Jesus on Judgment Day. And they're wondering why they're standing where they are in the good graces of God. And Jesus says this, and the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. You see, what was interesting about their lives? They're coming there going, we didn't do all that glorious stuff. See, it's not about works to get to heaven anyway. It's about Jesus. And when you love Jesus, he changes your life to love others. That's pretty simple, right? But they're wondering, what were we doing? It was so much a pattern of their life. Their life was so much about in praise of God and building up the body and in serving the world that it was so much a part of their rhythm, they didn't know anything different. And Jesus helped to bring it to sight line. When you were doing all of that, that was me you were doing it to. Now we know, if you read that verse, there's also the alternate side. The judgment side. That there was no activity happening because there was no love for God. You see, the rhythm is natural, what God calls us into. When I see these people being interviewed and having conversations, the rhythm of their life is just natural. I want to bring up a couple more families, if you'd join me on the stage, because I've watched the rhythm of their life, and I'm seeing something really cool and natural about the way they love Jesus. Corey and Natalia Lewis, give them some encouragement. Come on up. Don't forget your mic. Matt and Vilma Wilson, you in the room? There they are. Come on up, guys. Y'all look good. Good to see you guys. I've known these guys. Y'all been to CTK a long time, but 2 years coming up this Easter, already involved in gathering together. And we've had a little bit of conversation about your involvement and what's going on. And particularly, I want to catch up with you guys on international mission. Y'all been on mission trips. You just came back from Guatemala. You've been going on mission trips for a long time. God gave you a wife out of it. That's one of the pluses.
It was not the mission, but it happened.
Yeah, that's right. She wasn't the mission. That's good you said that. She wasn't the mission. God, Jesus was the mission. What is being on mission done in your life, and how has it affected your heart for mission? Tell us a little about that.
Yeah, so I grew up as a good Samaritan, you know, doing things for people, holding doors, things like that, and just the common decency era, if you will. And then when I got to Christ the King, got the opportunity to go on an international mission trip, it took me to the next level, right? So we went to Guatemala to be able to help, you know, folks who needed things. So we got to do more of that helping common decency thing, but it took it to a step further where the actual mission became key, which was sharing the love of Christ. So when I came back, and here where the need is not as great as there, so we still have need here, and you know, the church partners with a lot of groups to do that, but the main mission was sharing the love of Christ with others, building disciples. And so going international helped spark that fire for me in locally to be able to look, where do people need to be connected with Christ? Where can we do that?
What about for you, Vilma? What's it been like for you being in Guatemala and now experiencing mission, but living mission here?
Yeah. So for me, it's a little different because I grew up in Guatemala, so it wasn't new for me to see all the needs from my country, because I know all these needs. But coming here was different because for me, it's easy to forget our mission here, because we stop seeing the really needs, the people, our community, and it's Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Now, is for you, you spent a lot of time at Casa Bernabe, kind of grew up there. Yeah. So you lived in a Christian bubble. Mm-hmm. You know what that means?
Yeah.
In Spanish? Yeah. So everybody is kind of like, everybody was Christian around you, kind of trying to do the right thing, even though we're sinful. Mm-hmm. And then you come to the States, and you don't live in a Christian bubble. What was that experience like for you on mission?
Yeah, well, coming here, you know, learn new language, meet new people. And I was asking God, what is going to be my purpose here? And so I have a job in a restaurant, and I start work with people not Christian. And, like, I start, like, see all the needs from people and, like, sometimes I want to get up like people because they are mean to me. They're like feeling like I'm not a good person. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't want to come back here. I don't want to work here because no more. But God pushed me. You need to be the light. Okay? If they try to bad, you need to be kindness with people. So this is my purpose here. Be the light to Jesus.
That's a word for all of us there, because we're in that world, and sometimes we want to quit because people aren't nice enough, and sometimes God says, no, you're the light.
Yeah.
You're the hope. Mm-hmm. Good for you. Corey and Natalia, when you think about church on mission, and y'all were involved in mission before from another church when you moved here, what does that mean? What does church on mission mean to you?
To us, church on mission means a church and a body that is active beyond, like, the Sunday services and the gatherings that we have within these walls. But that's actually one of our favorite things about CTK, is like how I feel how active, you know, your body in this building is throughout the whole week. That's actually how, like, we found out about this church was through the preschool, because we moved it to this area and we were looking for a church and a preschool for our daughter. And we came, we visited, and then we start coming here and we felt so embraced. So I think throughout the week you have the preschool, you have like preschool play dates that, you know, the church just opens its doors for these families to come here and play on Fridays, and the food bank and all of that, and even more coming with the community center, so that's exciting.
So where have you guys enjoyed serving the most in the time you've been here?
I feel both of us. through the ministries and opportunities that the church offers for families. I've been coming even with Vilma, like on another two ladies on Wednesday mornings to help prep for Sunday school for the kids. So that and through MOPS and the preschool again, like I've subbed there and we've enjoyed. I feel like we bonded like with these families over our kids and over the fact that many of us are not from the Charlotte area and we don't have family here. And now we found this really special community of people that we can count on. And so I feel like we're so blessed when we decide to serve and like give up of our time.
That is powerful.
Yeah, echo a lot of that as well. I'm one of the rare folks from the Charlotte area, but not a lot of family close. So it's good to have the church and through the relationships that were built become family and join in what the church is already doing, what CTK is already doing, that my family gets joy in that. And so whether I'm helping with the computers that might need worked on or whatnot, helping Pastor Craig reset his password in IT.
Need so, all the help I can get.
Yeah, whatever it may be, I'm just reminded that the Still Creek Community Place is what I see as kind of a fulfillment of the promise that Jesus speaks about with the parable of the faithful servant a little bit earlier in this chapter of Matthew 25:23. I'm going to bust out the phone because I don't want to misquote scripture. He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." So I feel the joy, and I encourage others who may be not so involved just to get involved, to show up, and we've been super blessed. So that's my...
Yeah, he does. It's a real truth. What you've been faithful in small things, you have more opportunity. So the joy of being faithful in small things is God's going to allow you more opportunity for him to move powerfully. And that's what we're seeing through Still Creek Community Plays, et cetera. What about for you guys? Where you've enjoyed serving the most?
So my CTK career, if you will, has really been rooted in the youth. It started with RAW, which is now called Crux, with the older youth. And now it's more with the children's ministry. I take care of the third to fifth graders, so in that perfect area where they're old enough to be crazy and young enough to be very crazy. So they're right there in the middle. So it's been awesome serving in all those different capacities because I see how they've been feeding into me as much as I've been feeding into them. I've been blessed to see some of the seeds that I've planted grow. Of course, that's with God's work, right? It's seeing that grow, and some I have faith that they'll grow later on. So it's just been awesome to serve in those areas and see how God has been faithful.
But for you, Vilma?
For me, is I love to serve on Wednesday to do the prep with my friend Nat because through that we become good friends with Brittany, Jaime, and her, and we build a community, and I feel a part of community now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really because you're serving together,
yeah.
Brought your friendship together, mm-hmm. And having such beautiful accountability with one another and helping each other's kids has been beautiful. Isn't that the heart of community? That's the edification side of the serving side. It's really, really cool. Give these guys some encouragement. Thank you for sharing. Beautiful. Well, we know God is moving all over the world. In Acts 1:8, it says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. Some of you are familiar with some of the ways this congregation is being moved by God internationally. You know, one of them is in Slovakia with our friends, the Andrews, and Jamie and Linka Andrews were in leadership here at CTK. And as they grew in leadership, God moved them to Slovakia, which was her hometown, in the town of Puko. There they began a house church that we help support and encourage and pray over and actually teach and train. Now I've connected in with a church in Zelina that is building a second campus of a church in Puko. Amazing work over these last 7 to 10 years of what God's doing and moving. Many of you have heard a little bit about Burundi, Africa. We've been there about 10 years. And we started with a ministry with our missionary here at CTK, Jenny Eckersall. And she was training mission leaders in Burundi. We were going as mission teams to help her train those leaders. And while we were there, we had a translator, Eric Manabona, who was learning Christianity as well as helping us train people. When that when that time was finished, he said, hey, I think I'm called to be a pastor. And so over a period of years, we helped train him up as a pastor, and he planted Grace Church in Burundi. During that time, they became in a time of civil war. Jenny Eckersall came home, met her new husband, Mark Elfson, and they're married and were raising two beautiful children. They just went back to Burundi to begin serving again this past August. But God didn't stop while they were in the States. God worked through Pastor Eric and his team, and they now have a church that worshiped every Sunday well over 500 people. They gather and impact thousands of people in their community in feeding and the outreach of the gospel. And Pastor Eric wanted to share a message to you guys this morning. Take a look.
Hello, CTK. I'm Samuel Praise from Grace Community Church in Burundi, Bujumbura. I'm worship leader. Thank you for your prayers and support. Our church is making impact through evangelism. Thank you.
Shalom, shalom, CTK. I'm Kazi Kelikatia. I'm leading 21 home cell for young. Thank you for support. We love you.
Hello, CTK. Thank you. This is a team among the leaders. This is Blaise, is leading the feeding program, and he's our admin. And thank you for your prayers and your support as we are doing an impact here through evangelism, through home cells. Last year, baptized more than 60. Now we are expecting 100 of new disciples. And the feeding program, we are having more than 20 families, but we want to feed even 50 families. That's what we are expecting. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for sending Pastor Craig and the team. May God bless you. Thank you.
You help support Eric's salary every month as he pastors his community. Our next steps there is to help them find property and build a building. It's amazing what God's doing in that location. Many of you know we just got back from a trip in Guatemala. We've been working in Guatemala for about 20 years. It all began about 20 years ago when people from this church went there to a struggling orphanage called Casa Bernabe. There was hardly any food with all the kids that they were dropping off from the government that they were asking this little fledgling orphanage to take care of. We came back here and raised $50,000 to secure their food dynamic for the entire year, and we developed an organization called called Friends of Children Everywhere, FOCE. Since that time, that board of directors of FCE has been raising funds, and over the last 20 years, Casa Bernabe Orphanage has become one of the premier orphanages in all of Guatemala, and it's Christian, and it's training young people to know Jesus. In fact, the government even looks in at how they're doing it to determine how they do orphanages around the city. Amazing work they've been a part of. Pastor Don Maurice was working at that orphanage and came here to help us plant a church, Puerto Nuevo. So when you see Don Maurice, she's from there and came here to help us do a work. In fact, Sarah Green also served at that orphanage for 4 years. So God has done amazing work already. In addition to that, we had the privilege of getting to know Pastor Erica Chejon, Don Maurice's sister. She was working in a children's ministry in a very impoverished part of Guatemala called Chimaltenango. In that area, she was helping support children that literally had no food and no home. We began helping with student ministry initially and then adult ministries going and supporting to help initiate the work of that school. We developed another nonprofit called Matthew 25:40 that now raises support to support the teachers in the education in that location. Just recently, Matthew 25:40 was able to buy property where the school can now exist and a church can now be built. Isn't that incredible? We were just there and we had a chance to see that property, and Pastor Erica and Sarah Green had a message they want to share with you today.
Hola, hermanos de Iglesia, Cristo el Rey.
Hi, brothers and sisters of Christ the King.
Les saluda Pastora Erika Chajón.
I greet you, Pastor Erika Chajón.
Desde nuestra bella Guatemala.
From our beautiful Guatemala.
Estoy tan emocionada y tan agradecida con Dios.
I'm so excited for all that God has done.
Por la bendición de tener la propiedad.
That we now have the blessing of this new land.
Esta propiedad donde podemos bendecir a tantas personas en nuestra comunidad.
That through this property we can bless so many people in our community.
Ahora de una manera más expandida.
Sí, and in a very more expanded way than before.
Y creemos porque Dios va a traer restauración a este lugar.
And we know that God's going to bring restoration through this place.
De hecho, lo ha estado haciendo ya.
And God's already been doing it.
Pero creemos que vendrán mejores cambios para nuestra comunidad.
But we know that even more change is going to come for our community.
Como iglesia.
As a church.
Como la promesa.
As the school, La Promesa.
Sé que estamos siendo luz en este lugar.
We know that we are a light here in this place.
Y sé que vamos a lograr cumplir el sueño de Dios.
And I know that we're going to complete the dream that God has for this
place.
Y
es que más familias, más personas pueden ser restauradas.
More families, more people can be restored.
Y puedan conocer del amor de Dios.
And they can know the love of God.
Y venir a Cristo Jesús como su Salvador.
And they can know Jesus Christ as their Savior.
Así que gracias por ser parte de este proyecto.
So thank you for being a part of this project.
Gracias por sus oraciones.
Thank you for your prayers.
Les amamos en el nombre de Cristo
Jesús. We love you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Y bendecimos la vida de su pastor.
And we bless the lives of your pastor.
Y de esta hermosa mujer que está traduciendo para mí.
And me who's translating for her as well.
No dijiste hermosa.
This beautiful lady translating for her. Blessings.
As you can see, the love and relationship that has grown over the years, the impact you're making. The next move for us at CTK is we finish up our building dynamic is to help them build a church. We support Pastor Erica's salary every month. God is moving in powerful ways. I hope you're encouraged, and I hope you see yourself as the bride of Christ, as a move of God, not only locally, which is very important, but also around the world. God is moving and stirring. I want to close with this as a reminder for us. As we think about how we pour out our time and our ability and our resource as people of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul is writing to the Corinthian Christians. He says, "You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich." This isn't about Jesus not having anything. This is about Jesus pouring himself out, giving everything he had so that you and I could have heaven. But Paul goes on to say to us as people, whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly. And give according to what you have, not what you don't have. His encouragement is that all what we have is not equal among all of us. But we also know in our human nature we can consume everything we have. We can come to a place, I don't have anything to give because we've been particularly selfish and self-focused. That's where Jesus reminds us to let your treasure be in heaven. Every year for Marilyn and I, we have to set a time aside to really look and say, this is what we anticipate God giving us for the year, and we want to set apart that for God so we are first for him in our time and ability and treasure. We don't want to be caught in a position not to have when God's calling us to make a difference in the world. And that's what it means to be a Christian. And we seek to live in that way. In Proverbs chapter 3, it says this in verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. I don't know how all that happens, but I do know God is the King of the universe. I do know that he renounces the devourer in our lives when we have him first. I see it happen all over the place. And it will happen in your life and mine. So today, as we come to the end of February, all month we've talked about and been thinking about, how do we put God first? How do we pour out our time, abilities, and resources? On the screen, you'll see ways that you can go online. Many of you have already had, and you can pledge. That means I got an intention. This is how I want to prioritize God in my financial giving. This is how I want to prioritize God in my serving throughout 2023. I want to pause for a moment, ask the worship team to come forward. And just give all of us in the room a moment with God and with your spouse or your family member. Just to pray and be together and say, God, would you use us for your glory? In Psalm 90, 17, it says this, "Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands." Establish the work of our hands. God will do it. So spend a few moments in prayer. The worship team will lead us in song. If you have an offering that you want to bring forward, a pledge card to bring forward, if you did it electronically, you can't bring it forward. It's okay. But literally, we're bringing it as an offering to God. And then we're going to pray over all of that. God's grace.